Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now, here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together, we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, energy follows thought. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Also, Alice Bailey wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The thought power of men and women of goodwill can create a channel for the inflow of spiritual energies to heal and rebuild a troubled world. This power, properly used and directed, can be humanity's saving force. Do you think the realization is growing that essentially people create the world they live in?
I think so. There have been movements such as New Thought and Science of Mind in the last 100 years or so. Christian Science and Unity have all been working with that principle that we create the world we live in essentially through the quality of our thinking, and that if we want to make a better world for ourselves, we should look to our thoughts and our attitudes and expectations and try to make them more positive and more productive and creative. But there's a lot more to this concept than just that, and in this program today it would be nice to focus on how each of us can contribute to the better world we would like to see. Mm-hmm. I think too often we think it's up to somebody else, up to government or up to the great people on the front lines of the world crisis, or up to the people with a lot of money or the people with a lot of power or fame. But really the improvement in the world is going to come through all people of goodwill contributing their own creative, productive, positive, love-imbued, goodwill-inspired thinking to their part of the world, their environment, their relationships.
Yes, I don't know that people are consciously totally aware of the power of thought, that the thoughts are things according to the ageless wisdom teachings. And so all of our thoughts do create they create a thought form, and every time we think, we are creating forms of thought, and that these are forms of energy, patterns of energy. And if we can realize the power that's there and organize it in a organized way, then it can generate a tremendous amount of enlightenment and enlightened thought.
I think probably all of us create thought forms, which is the word from the ageless wisdom to describe the concepts that we hold in mind, the ideas, the expectations that we generate incessantly in our minds. I think we all create thought forms all the time without realizing that we're doing this. Mm-hmm. And like you say, without realizing the power behind them. And not all of them are so constructive. I think we fantasize and distort and misinterpret all the time with the kind of ruminative life going on in our heads. If you really tried to listen to yourself as you're riding on the subway or on the train or whatever, or stuck in a traffic jam, or in those moments when you can kind of step back and look at the quality of your thought, you might find an awful lot of fantasizing, expectations and so on that aren't terribly positive, that might be fearful or mistrusting or cynical. And when we start to see this quality, we can then monitor it more and stop it, just literally stop it when we find ourselves descending into these episodes of rather dark thought.
Well, that's the thing, too. I mean, the thought patterns can be bad or they can be good. But the idea, of course, in this kind of work is to prepare and work at thought forms that and build thought forms that work for the good of the world, and like the energy of building the energy of goodwill and right human relations and love and sharing and all those good soul qualities and characteristics. Those are the kind of thoughts that need to be brought into the world in human consciousness and become more of a part and a stronger part of our consciousness than the negative thought forms that have been built up over centuries.
One way you can do that is when you are in a relationship at work or in the family or whatever, where you find it difficult to understand the person and you can't quite figure out what motivates that person to do what they do. When there's a kind of a gulf between you, you can start to watch your thinking toward that person, where you might be filling in a lot of the blanks with critical thoughts, with assumptions that may or may not be true. But ask yourself, how much of what I think about this person is actually based on fact, and how much is just sort of based on assumptions or past persons that resembled this one that behaved in such a way? I think if we could stand back, we would realize how often we misinterpret and misunderstand. And when you multiply this by 6 billion of us on the planet, I think that's why the world is in the shape it's in. We're not speaking only about relationships between individuals, but between groups of people, between nations. Look at the present presidential campaign and how much mistrust and misunderstanding is generated by the words people say, but also by the attempts to assign motives and to explain why these groups of people vote the way they do.
Right, and we also have to bear in mind, too, that we live in this ocean of energies. Everything, and even science recognizes this, that all is energy. So we live in this great sea of energy that is, and so thought forms and thought currents are kind of circulating all the time. And many of the ideas that we pick up don't originate in our own brain cells or in our own consciousness. They are ideas that we've picked up from other people or from other thought forms that are circulating, and we tend to glom onto those ideas and stimulate them. And the more you focus on an idea, the more you energize it.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. Energy mm-hmm. follows and conforms to the direction of thought. So that's one good law to kind of keep in mind when you speak.
And that also means, by deduction, one person thinking truth can transform his environment, whether we're talking about a family or an office or a community, whatever. Each of us can be a force that's positive or not, as we become more aware of the quality of our thinking. There's a beautiful statement from the books of Alice Bailey, a kind of an ancient rule of the spiritual path, that says, "Enter thy brother's mind and read his thoughts, but only when thy thoughts are pure. Then think. Let the thoughts created enter thy brother's mind and blend with his. Yet keep detached thyself, for none have the right to sway a brother's mind. The only right there is will make him say, he loves, he stands by, he knows. He thinks with me, and I am strong to do the right. Learn thus to speak, learn thus to think. So often when we mean well, we get in there and advise and try to tell a person how they ought to straighten out their affairs. So much more powerful is thinking with them silently when your own thoughts are based on goodwill and love, and with the knowledge that each person has within them an inner guide, the soul that does respond to truth and to light, given half a chance.
Yes, that tendency to jump in and or to criticize another person by what they have said or done is a very kind of knee-jerk reaction that so many people have. But it's the very time that one should kind of check themselves and stand back and simply observe what's being said, perhaps, and to say, they'll say, count to 10 and then speak. But so it's a very a good practice to kind of bear that in mind and step back and observe what's going on before you speak.
There's another beautiful statement from another teaching from the Bible, from the book of Proverbs. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If we can become more aware by cultivating moments of silence in our daily life, we can be more aware of what's going on in our innermost being. And that will probably be the source of a lot of our thought. And trying to really discern what we think in our hearts isn't that easy, but that's the value of meditation, of prayer. Because in those silent moments, you become more aware of what's conditioning you. And I think that's one of the rougher patches of the spiritual path, that with the practice of meditation and self-monitoring, you start to become aware of the voice in the head. And it's not always so encouraging when you realize the quality of your thought, but we have to work our way through recognition.
Right, and as you were saying, as a man thinketh, so is he. And you can also change your way of thinking just by the use of thought, by cultivating an opposite point of view. As a man changes his desire, so he changes himself.
Mm-hmm.
As he shifts his consciousness from one objective to another, so he alters himself. And so this is kind of a true law working with energy. See, it's a good way to, if you're concerned about the way you speak or the way you use energy or the way you conduct your life, then it can be changed. Not by suppressing, but by cultivating the opposite, or cultivating something better, a new way, a new image. And by energizing that image, eventually the old image, the bad image, will disappear.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. We have a special offer, and that's from Lucis Trust, and it relates to our topic for today, which is energy follows thought. We have a pamphlet titled Energy Follows Thought, which we're willing to give you free of charge, no strings attached, and more or less a little bit about the theme that you'll find within that pamphlet is the following from Energy Follows Thought, and I quote, "We are only now beginning to understand the power of thought and the energy which the thinker can apply. Through creative thought, through spiritual perception, and correct interpretation, men and women can help to establish the kingdom of God on earth." And once again, that's from the Alice Bailey Works, and it's within the pamphlet that we're willing to give you for free, send out to you, the title of the pamphlet, which you will ask for if you'd like to take advantage of this this offer, is Energy Follows Thought. So what you need to do is ask for Energy Follows Thought. What you can do is call for a copy of this free pamphlet It's on a toll-free number. Give us a call. Ask for Energy Follows Thought. 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. Or 1-866-695-8247. All of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website also, so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. We also appreciate your donations, so if you have any donations to that can help us to support Lucis Trust and keep this good work going. There are so many, of course, you listen to the radio show, but there are so many levels of support that that you've given us towards other aspects of Lucis Trust. The radio is just one part of Lucis Trust. There's so many good things that Lucis Trust does. So if you have donations and you'd like to support Lucis Trust, send those donations. They are tax deductible to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We have a lot to say about Energy Follows Thought, and I hope you continue with us. One of the things that I'd like to ask is, I know we began with a question, and the question that I started with was, do you think the realization is growing that essentially people create the world they live in? Now, are we talking about an individual creating the world he lives in, or people in general?
I think both. We individually basically create the world we live in, especially if you look at the Eastern doctrine of karma and recognize that we are not simply people who've shown up on this planet as of our birth, but have had many, many lifetimes on Earth and have become complex aggregates of experience and disappointment and failure and triumph and all the human experiences of lifetime after lifetime. All of that builds up. And when we realize that we bring into each lifetime the residue of our past achievements and failures and experiences, then yes, we create the world we live in. We create the world we were born into, because it represents for our soul the next step in the soul's evolution. So in that sense, every child born enters into a situation that is probably quite appropriate. Not necessarily one we would choose, but appropriate for the soul's growth. Speaking on the larger level, yes, the world that we are in today is one that humanity has created. I don't know if we're ready as a species to take responsibility for it. So often people still ask, why does God let this happen? I've never understood that question, as if God should be some kind of fire chief that would rush in with the hose and put out the fire that we started. You know, it's, I don't know. It doesn't seem to me that we should expect to be rescued from the creation we have wrought. But I think we also have to understand that we do have the means to save ourselves. That was our opening thought, that this power of the energy of the mind can be humanity's saving force. And that's something every one of us can contribute to through meditation and prayer.
And using meditation, one of the exercises or one of the meditation service activities is one called triangles, in fact. And that's one of the activities of the Lucis Trust. Why don't you describe this work and tell our listeners how they can all participate?
Oh, why don't you? Well, we both can. Triangles was established by Alice Bailey about 50 years ago as a meditation activity that groups of three people can participate in, thus the name triangle. Mm-hmm. Each person represents a point of the triangle. These are people, friends, family, whatever. You don't have to necessarily know them well. They can be people that just simply share the same goal of contributing to the upliftment of human consciousness by agreeing to link up with each other daily in a brief meditation, visualizing their triangle within the whole worldwide network of triangles. I like to think of the starry sky that you might see in the desert when the moon is new and very dark, and the brilliant stars form patterns. Well, I like to think of the triangles network similar to that nighttime sky, but everybody probably has their own image. And you visualize lines of light and goodwill circulating through all these triangles, including your own, and you visualize the impact of light and goodwill redeeming and uplifting human consciousness, imbuing it with more love, more illumination, and then say silently the great invocation, which is the prayer that closes this broadcast every Sunday morning. That's essentially triangles, and it's a way to direct spiritual energies of light and goodwill for the purpose of unifying human consciousness.
Right, and it's important to realize that this network of triangles exists. It's been building for, well, since the 1930s. Mm-hmm. And so there are literally tens of thousands, perhaps millions of triangles or people working in this activity of triangles around all over the world. And they're all sounding out the great invocation, visualizing these triangles and the network. So it is a huge group effort. You're not working by yourself, and that's an important thing to kind of bear in mind and to visualize this vast network of triangles around the world, and you are part of that. So it's a new way of thinking about group work, perhaps. The whole concept of group work, we tend to think of a group of people working together in some capacity, you know, all at once in one place, and that certainly is group work too. But this is more subjective, working with the mind, using the power of thought and visualization to create your own triangle and connecting it and linking it with the network of triangles, and then joining the rest of the world and people working in triangles and sounding out this and invoking the energies of light and love and the will to good. And that is essentially what the triangles work is. It's very simple.
Anybody who has participated in a prayer circle for healing would understand, I think, the principle of triangles. And in fact, there's been scientific research that has found that people who are ill, who are prayed for, tend to recover faster and more readily in larger numbers than those who are not prayed for. So this isn't just a nice idea that energy follows thought. It is beginning to be validated by science. And I think the idea of triangles is a bit more scientific even than praying, in the sense of working with the triangular patterns of directing energies, like you say. If it appeals to our listeners, there's lots of information on our website at www.lucistrust.org. If you click on service activities, you will see triangles featured. And in fact, if you want to find two partners to form a triangle, but you don't know who to ask, you can register on our website where your name and your interest in triangles will be posted, and you can contact people or be contacted by people who want to form a triangle with you. And there have been people forming triangles with people on the other side of the world. It's nice, and it's completely impersonal, so you don't have to worry about somebody becoming your new best friend. It's not that. Like you say, it's for group service.
Absolutely, and it's building, it's using this law of energy follows thought. which we're focusing on today, because it's building the thought forms of light and love and goodwill, which are the most necessary energies that we need to build right human relations in the world today.
Yes, and it's a way that each one of us can contribute. I think that's so important to realize that every one of us can help to make a difference. This is one example. There are other examples of how to direct mental energies in planetary upliftment, but maybe a closing thought on the value of silence in our thinking would also be useful. Alice Bailey said, "The silence of thought has to be cultivated." That's hard today with the media giving us so much information. We're also overstimulated by the onslaught of input from the media. How do we cultivate silence of thought? Well, she said, certain lines of thought are refused admission. And I think we realize that when people say, don't go there, meaning don't think along that line, when they realize a subject is really not to be developed. It shouldn't be, because it's not healthy. Certain habits of thinking are eradicated, she said, and certain approaches to ideas aren't developed. Again, like you say, not by suppression, but by substitution. And she said the initiate learns to keep his thought apparatus in a certain effective condition. He doesn't allow certain ideas, certain thinking patterns to intrude in his most spiritual moments of meditation and aspiration. I suppose because it's a kind of contamination of the realm of consciousness which he's entered into. And then there are other times in life when it is appropriate to think along the lines of worldly problems and issues. But there are certain layers of thought, Alice Bailey said, which are held within the ashram itself and never permitted to enter the mind of the seeker when he's not consciously working on that level. This is a fascinating area of study that we can all think about, silence and the direction of energy through thought.
Please take advantage of the special offer from the Lucis Trust. And that's a free pamphlet entitled Energy Follows Thought. And that, of course, was the subject of today's discussion. A little something on Energy Follows Thought is the following. We are only now beginning to understand the power of thought and the energy which the thinker can apply through creative thought, through spiritual perception, and correct interpretation. Men and women can help to establish the kingdom of God on earth. And if you want this free pamphlet, give us a call at 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Lucis, L-U-C-I-S. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.